Right. That seems to be working almost too well. Good evening, everyone. I use everyone in the loosest possible sense in members' terms. I think we've got our usual situation of more officers than members, but we'll cope with this massive advantage. Have we got emergency procedures? I think everybody knows where and how. Urgent business, I have no urgent business at all. Apologies for absence, Will.
Councillor Middleton.
Ah, you're in charge of apologies for absence. Ah, I wasn't told that. I was told you were operating the machine.
Experience.
Pardon? Have we any apologies?
Councillor Middleton.
Councillor Middleton, thank you. So, who's missing?
Thank you.
Who's missing? Jim Bailey. Dyke Hill. David Cousins. Angela Rain. Apologies for late, did I understand? Yeah. Your Oppo. Oh, David Cousins, we said David. Yeah. Right. Minutes of the meeting on the 24th. Any comments, any questions, or can I sign those as a true record? Anything first before I... Can I move those minutes then?
Yeah, I'll second that. Yeah.
I don't. That'll do. If we're 2 seconding, to do nicely. I've already mentioned urgent business. Declarations of interest. Has anybody got any declarations of interest? Right. Don't be. Yeah, we need a vote on the minutes. All right, no, my fault. That is, in fact, unanimous. Right. Chair's announcements. I've got two. The first one is the imbalance between meetings. And I've asked Anthony to have a look at it, because if you look at tonight's agenda, it's fairly brief. If you were to, you can't yet, but if you were to take a glance at the overview and scrutiny meeting at the end of October, it gives you the impression that it's a bring your sleeping bag meeting. And I'm not suggesting changing it at all. It's all set there. It's all in the forward plan, and that's how it should work. But I've asked Anton if he'll have a look at it to see if there's anything we can move out of that, or possibly into this, or just out of that into another meeting to try and even them up. And it's one of the reasons I suggested, what's becoming quite a while back now, that we tried to even up the scrutiny and the audit. Because if you pile it audit into one meeting, and then you have scrutiny things that are happening on top of that meeting, it gets silly, and the other meeting can be too small. The second thing is that we've got the environment forum that we had last February, was it? When we had the environmental forum, we hosted that. And we were hoping to do another one in June. And I think from the extra training and time that new members have been on, with a massive intake of new members, and officers helping new members to get going, we didn't happen in June. This time, the Rydale Environment Group is meeting on the 2nd of November at 10 a.m. in the Milton Rooms, and that runs on till 2. And I'd like to suggest that we had Rydale Council hosted Environment Forum to gather together, like we did last February, to look at who wants to contribute, what the council could be, how it ties in with the climate change policy, and. Is that an acceptable time to do it? Yeah. Well, no, the Environment Forum is in the morning, that's 10:30, but is 2:30 or something like that to slot in after that an acceptable time for our Environment Forum? Any comments or thoughts? All right. Yeah, we'll go for that then. There would be a lot of people that would be there, and we can do the same. Well, we can do better publicity than we did last time. No, not better. A longer time scale, because last time we gave people 2 days or 3 days in some cases, etc. We still had 40 people turn up. So I don't think we'll have any problem, but the same as last time. And is that, would you be doing that, Josh, this time again? I would love you to. Or make sure somebody does it. It doesn't have to be your hand doing it, but somebody needs to make sure that it's slotted in. Thank you. We now move on to customer complaints and compliments for quarter 1, 1920. Margaret Wallace, welcome.
Thank you, Chair. The report is to outline the customer complaints and compliments received in the last quarter from the 1st of April to the 30th of June, and it's asked the committee to just note the complaints and compliments received for that quarter. Any questions I have to ask?
Any questions? Let's just do questions first. Any questions before we go into comments, thoughts and suggestions? Will? I'm trying to keep the four of you looking like eight people. So that you could, you know, ask twice the number of normal questions, etc. Well, it doesn't appear to be any questions at all. Anybody, any comments?
Well, just to say how well presented it is, very easy to understand. I found it incredibly easy to track through. So thank you for that, Margaret.
Can you pop that last couple of sentences back on the microphone?
Yeah,
otherwise,
sorry. I'm just saying thank you very much for your comments, and I have to thank Will for the work that he does actually behind the scenes, because it is Will that pulls it all together. But thank you.
Can I ask you whether or not you'd like to make changes to this? Just in principle, not a decision tonight or whatever, because I have a feeling, and I think we mentioned it at some meeting or other in relation to this, that you have compliments, complaints, etc., that by definition are long and complicated. Why has it taken you so long to leave the land at Riggs Road where it is, and why haven't you moved quicker? Now, if somebody wants to answer that in 24 hours, good luck to them, to give the person a complete answer. Why wasn't my bin emptied this morning is just as important a question to the person asking it, and rightly so. It's because the wagon missed that street and was sending something out this afternoon. The answer can be in seconds. And I just have a feeling that they need grading somehow and looking. Is that possible?
people. We've already started a review of the customer complaints procedure because we've been really aware that the 5-day is achievable in some cases because it's a really quick answer, but actually in some of the more complicated, there's a lot of investigation and a lot of stuff that we have to pull together. So, and officers sometimes, unfortunately, because they've got the day job, they sometimes forget and a deadline can be missed. So it's not putting any kind of like blame on any of the services, but what it is just trying to say that actually we're not defining what a complaint and what a service delivery question is. So the point that you make is that the service delivery is actually we've missed a bin. Somebody phones in, that's an inquiry and it's about a service delivery part of that. So yeah, we could form it as a complaint, however we don't need 5 days, we can just deal with it really straight away and actually deal with that. For the other complaints, we need to be more in line with what the Ombudsman recommendations are to make sure that we're following the proper process and also basically allowing our staff to know how or what we would expect from them at different stages of complaint handling. So that's what we're reviewing just now. So hopefully in subsequent meetings what I'll do is I'll outline what we're trying to do and then the date that we're hoping to do it for the next meeting.
Two things spring from that. One is if something's slipped and a system hasn't been done and somebody hasn't replied as to why their bin wasn't emptied, that needs to keep a short timescale. Because if it doesn't, it's possible to, oh, they've got to do the day job and whatever else, and complaints just disappear off down the scale. But the bigger ones, I would be happy. Are you going to bring those proposals back to scrutiny, or where are you planning to take them?
So I was going to bring them back to scrutiny because obviously this is where the performance comes. So this would be where I would expect to bring it. I think we need to do some work in defining what a complaint is. So the Ombudsman, that's a recommendation to the Ombudsman that we have a clear definition of what a complaint is going forward and then what is a service inquiry. So what I would be hoping is that we would do that piece of work. So one of the team leaders or the managers from the customer service has actually started that piece of work. So we can outline it for the November, but the more detailed report of actually what the procedures and everything will be in the January meeting that we'll bring it back to. But we can I can line that out for you for bringing back. That. Is that okay?
And I think it depends how radical it's going to look. If it's going to look very different, the outline might be very useful in November. If it's going to look not much different, but you're going to pull 10% to one side, then there may not be a need for an outline report, would be my reaction to that.
I think, just to put this in context, it's part of a whole customer excellence review that we're trying to do. So obviously, as you point out, it's about some of the systems that we have in the back of that, actually how we record them, and then making sure that we're getting back to customers to make sure that they do, and actually what's the... As you pointed out, you know, if a bin isn't getting regularly picked up, or, you know, is that some... So we need to be making sure that Becky's team in Waste know that that's a regular complaint that's came in. So Will's been really, really good at doing a lot of the analysis for us and actually starting to pull that information together. So that will come back within that report, if that's okay.
Lovely. Thank you. Anybody? Any more? Good evening, Di. And if you passed Anton on the with Anton going out as you came in, you've now tipped the balance to more councillors than officers. It was a useful swap.
Apologies for lateness.
No, that's all right,
Mr. Chairman. I was in the building. I was just in another meeting.
In the building? Did you get lost?
You're also now the acting finance officer, Di. So.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Margaret. Hang on, we'll... Give them the time, they will come out with a question.
Cheeky bugger. As I said earlier, I think this is a huge step forward. This is very simple. I think one advantage of having, if you'll forgive me, having new sets of eyes looking at things is that they bring different experiences and whatever from with them when they're looking at something, and that's great to see. It has always concerned me that what's important when we're looking at complaints is, as you quite rightly say, that we are actually being realistic about the amount of time it takes to deal with the different complaints. And I'm sure you will, when you do this piece of work, you will reflect that in what you come up with, because it is, my own experiences of working life, it is incredibly discouraging to find that an organisation is not looking very good, when in actual fact it's down to the fact that the measurement is not right, or it's just down to one or two departments that are holding it back. So I'm sure you'll reflect that, and that will be very useful to do.
Thank you. Do you see that's what I said a minute ago? Warm to the job, they get going. Yeah.
Follow up and support everything that Will has just said. If we set a target, it needs to be a realistic one, an achievable one, that does what it's intended to do, and not just be there to look pretty. So it needs to be functional. So if you keep that in mind when you put your brain cells to work on this particular conundrum, then all well and good. Thank you, Chair.
No, that's it. Thank you, Margaret. Do we have to do anything with that? Do we have to note it, or we vote on noting it? Do we? Can you vote on that, please?
Okay.
Thank you. We now move on to the implementation of recommendations of the Climate Change Scrutiny Review Progress Report. I find this an interesting title. Doesn't alter the work at all, but I thought that the Climate Change Scrutiny Review had gone through full council. I think I was sober on that day and awake. And full council approved it. And I just wonder whether we should still be calling it and treating it as the Climate Change Scrutiny Review Progress Report, and whether or not it ought not to be Rydale Council's Climate Change review progress report or whatever, because it just seems to devalue a little bit. Because I have a feeling from memory it went through full council by, was it unanimous or very near? I don't think anybody voted against it, was there just? Anyway, sorry for putting a question mark over the job you're about to do. The floor is yours.
Thank you, good evening. For the benefit of new members and members new to scrutiny, this report sits in the context of the Council's aspirations to reduce global temperature rise. Council first adopted a climate change strategy in February 2006. However, in common with many local authorities, the actions identified at that time were not delivered over the intervening 10 plus years. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, published a report in October 2018 which changed its target to limit global temperature rise from 2 degrees to 1.5 degrees centigrade above pre-industrial levels in order to sustain ecosystems, food security, and to minimise the negative impacts on climate change and humanity. In response to this, Council agreed a motion, following a motion on the 11th of October 2018, that this Council wishes to play its part in delivery of this objective. In other words, contributing to the reduction in global temperature rise. It's a bit of a double negative. But this demonstrated the intent of members and led to the scrutiny review, which asked how the intent should be achieved and delivered. The scrutiny was therefore undertaken and found that business as usual was not an option. Council agreed to the recommendations in the Climate Change Scrutiny Report in April 2019, and the recommendations agreed and adopted do commit the District Council to delivering four general key principles: District Council taking a leadership role, reducing carbon emissions through its estates and assets, reducing carbon emissions in service delivery, and that includes working with communities and partners and monitoring. So, recalling the lack of delivery of the 2006 action plan, and one of the findings of the scrutiny review that actions to contain global temperature rise have to be taken in the next 11, now 10 years, the fourth principle is that the Council will closely monitor and review progress towards the implementation of the action plan. And consequently, scrutiny asks that a progress report be brought to committee twice a year to show the actions that have been taken. And this is done in the form of the Climate Change Progress Report attached at Appendix A, starting on page 31 of your agenda. There is just a slight amendment to the progress table report, as indicated in the written report, and that's the omission of the assigned to column, because that's it's, the reason for that is because it's not available in the public version. It's not normally undertaken that we put in individual councillor, officer names. However, members will be able to see to whom each project has been assigned to on the Pentana Performance Management System. So members can access the web-based system at any time to look at the progress, and we'd like just to give you a quick demonstration of that. See, Will's done his fantastic work and brought it up for you. So if you just bear with me a second. Thank you, and thanks to Will for setting this up for me. I believe Will has sent round the link for members, so you can look at this at your own time, and it's a web-based system and available for you to look at. You can't actually change anything on there. Only Will and I can do that. But you can look at anything you wish to. So if you just have a quick look, if you can see on the screen, it lists the 35 actions that we've agreed to, and you can click on the 35 actions here to see them. Oh, no, you can't. Something's gone wrong. This always happens.
Now you are important, Will. You are needed now.
Yes, Will's always important. Marvellous. Okay. So you can look at any of those actions just by clicking on the 35 actions, if you would like to do that. It's happened again. Am I doing something that I shouldn't be doing? I am going to say later on in this little introduction that if you need any help with Pentana at any time, then you need to contact Will and Jane Robinson. So this is just a demonstration.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do. So you can go and click on any of the particular actions. I'm not even going to touch this again.
Don't do it again.
And this gives you a little bit more detail than the table that's in your report this evening. So you can see the description in a more detail. You can see the notes that have been written, when they've been written. You can see how it fits into the action plan, under which theme it comes. So this, in this case, it's the third principle that I talked about earlier. And then just what I was saying earlier, you can see who owns it. So here, this one is the electric vehicle charging point at Hovingham and the electric vehicle bus feasibility study. So it's to do with community-based schemes. You can see that that's actually assigned to myself because I look after the community grant scheme for the council. Okay, so you don't have to wait for the next 6 monthly report, is what I'm saying. Members want to see what's happening at any time, they can do. So just bear with me, I'll just go back to my other table. Thank you, Will.
By the way, while Joss is telling us how we don't need to wait, that isn't going to be a let-out clause for her not to report it. twice a year.
So what you will see is that the due date on the report is April 2020 in most cases, which is the 12-month period from the time that the action plan commenced. So it's clearly not going to be that all our projects are going to be completed by then, but we would anticipate significant planning in place at least for all of them. We will also be adding new actions and new projects or sub-actions as they develop. And reports and documents can also be posted on the site as evidence of progress, and you'll be able to see all those as well. So Will and Jane Robinson are our Pentana experts, but if at any time you want me to talk you through that Pentana portal, then please do, although perhaps Will's a better example, as we saw this evening. So, just going back to the report then, the highlights to date are outlined in 6.2 of the report. I'm happy to give you any further detail on those actions if you would like. I think in summary, we can say that over the last 6 months, we've done a lot of planning and we've got a lot of projects in the pipeline. And we hope to be able to bring some more practical examples to a future committee. Thank you.
Any questions? John?
Yeah. Recently, been not just a criticism here, but nationally, about charging points for electric vehicles, that can only charge certain vehicles. Manufacture, that each vehicle and manufacturer creates a different plug to plug into from a charger. Now, if you're going to get large and wide-scale use, we need to be on the backs of the manufacturer to get their finger out and change to a standardised norm that all vehicles have and all chargers have. If you're going to do that, then you'll have people that use them. At the present time, from what I've heard on a report that came through a social media sources, which can't be exactly relied on fully, but they're saying that the number of vehicles, electric vehicles production, is being looked at to be reduced because of this particular aspect of chargers not matching up the vehicles, and that people are not taking up electric vehicles because of a fear that when they get out and about, they won't be able to get back. It's a real fear. You go around with a fuel can, spare can in your vehicle, I do, just in case, so you can get that extra 5 miles or 10, 15 miles to get to a petrol station. The electric vehicle people don't have that. You can't carry a whopping great big battery around with you. It's a bit stupid, in a sense, and a bit heavy. So I think we need to be on to the manufacturers, if we can. We need to put some pressure on, and we need to ask government to put this pressure on as well, because it's their responsibility as much as it is ours to try and overcome this. It's a real, real problem that I foresee. I would go for an electric vehicle tomorrow if I could be certain that there's more charging points available. And there should be mandatory legislation from government that all car parks should have a percentage of their car parking facility for charging vehicles while they're parked, and that non-electric vehicles can't use them. Because another criticism came in the press only a few days ago, that charging points in car parks for electric vehicles are being hogged by petrol or diesel vehicles. I think this is something that we need to go push on, but I don't see that we're big enough to push, but we need to put some people who are. So it's county and government, and we need to be on their backs to say to them, get your finger out, because we know what the problem is. We've highlighted it. Now we're passing the baton on to you.
Thank you, John. Can I pick that one up? I realise it was a question, but it seemed to be way beyond a question to me. I'm not going to. This isn't P&R. I'm not going to rule it out of order. If it's a question, it's a question that I'm going to suggest. Would you like us to put on as the considerations, and not vote on it now, but to put in under the recommendations that the overview and scrutiny note the climate change. And I think it's a waste of time having a committee that sits and notes. Anything that notes on here, I'm always nervous about. That we request the LGA to call upon the government to standardise charging points. Does that cover what you're saying? I won't ask for a seconder for that now. I will come back to that, but I've got a note of it, but I wanted to get it while you had it fresh in your mind as to what you were trying to achieve. Now, can we either leave it as a question to Joss or Joss duck altogether and move on to the next one, whichever?
I'm not sure I can answer the question. But I would like to just reassure you that every climate change event that I've been to with other local authorities recently, including an event put on by Green Fleet, which was all about how local authorities can use electric vehicles in their car and van requirements, the information was that local authorities are going ahead and putting in electric vehicle charging points as far as they can in their infrastructure. We're talking with the County Council about a network of off-street charging points, which a bid is going in for quite soon. We've funded an electric vehicle charging point at Hovingham Village Hall. So I think things will develop. It's an emerging market. Suppliers and buyers are trying to find their way through that market. And one comment at the Green Fleet event was that actually people trying to use these vehicles find it very difficult to get demonstrators, for example, because there's just not enough on the market. They're all out on the roads. So, you know, it's definitely a growing, fast-growing market, and local authorities are really taking the lead on putting in the EV charging points. Thanks.
Thanks, Jules. Di?
But I just said to that, Joss, I don't know if you're aware of that, this or not, but the Circular Moulton project is also looking at putting in more charging points through funding through the LEP, if we get it. I just wanted to ask about the event that's happening on the 2nd of November, which I know the council is involved in. It says on page 32, gosh, this is so small I can't read it, 1G. That the Rydal Environment Forum is playing a sort of major key.
Sorry, you turned away from the microphone.
Sorry, a key partner.
Page 32, what?
Page 32, 1G.
Yeah.
It says that the Rydal Environment Forum is a key partner in this event on the 2nd of November. Do we know what form that's going to take? Because I don't think the forum's met again since its last meeting. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Yeah, the event's going to be a free drop-in event at the Milton Rooms. It's going to be starting at 10:30 and finishing about 2. So the idea is that members of the public will be able to walk around and visit the various tables and stalls set up inside. And also outside, we're going to have some electric bikes being demonstrated, and I'm trying to get an electric vehicle to come and do a sort of show and tell. So we've got a number of different groups from around Rydal, some of which we heard about and were introduced to at the previous Rydal Environmental Forum, the sort of informal meeting that we had as part of the scrutiny review. And they're coming to shows. The lady that produces the Moors bags is coming. And we've also got the Rotters coming, who are the sort of composting volunteers. And we've got various recycling. We've commissioned or working in partnership with Moulton School Children to produce a film about recycling. That's hopefully going to be premiered on the day. We've hopefully got the guides coming to talk about single-use plastic. So we've got a whole range of people coming and some good support from the environmental groups in Rydal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I add two thoughts to that? Are we going to have the council going to have a table there? Because if we were just put somebody on there taking it in turns, councillors, anybody you want, but to put on there what you have got on here and where they can get access to it, I think this is good enough to be saying this is what your council is doing. That's a thought of doing it in the actual function. This is not me aiming a brick in your direction, Di, but I'll cover it so that you haven't missed it. We had agreed that we held an environment forum after the 10:30 event, and we said 2:30, I think, in the afternoon for Rydale Environment Forum to slot in after that. And we're now into not said in the meeting, but penciled in my mind for that was two presentations. One was from Circular Moulton, and the other was from Hovingham, who last time were wanting to make Hovingham green by 1920 or whenever, somewhere incredibly urgent, and everybody around the room was saying, how are you doing this, what are you doing, etc. So those were two groups to come and do a presentation at that. Now that puts you ahead of the meeting, but you're going to ask another question, so tally-ho.
Yes, I'm just wondering, I agree with the Circular Moulton one because I've been involved in that and that is racing away. I think in terms of what's happening in Hovingham, I was in a meeting the other night where there was a representative from Hovingham there who said they were moving very, very, very slowly.
If the offer goes to them and they say no, then it's fine.
So I'm just wondering whether you'd like a presentation from the Rydale Environmental Group or from the Moulton and Norton Environmental Group, who are also racing away with what they're doing, or possibly the person who set up the refill scheme in Moulton, which is also going incredibly well and is now spreading out into other areas. So those were the options, Mr. Chairman.
I think we ought to consider those options. My concern was, and always is, that things don't come to Pickering-centric, Moulton-centric, any other centric in this, with the whole of Rydale. But if there isn't something suitable out of Pickering, there isn't something suitable out of Hovingham, then two out of Norton or two out of Moulton are absolutely preferable, because wherever it's happening, it doesn't matter. I'm perfectly happy with that, but let Joss find what she can in inquiries would be my approach to that.
I would just respond that the Rydale Environmental Forum covers the whole of Rydale. So
I understand that, but it is also an organisation that covers various activities in various parts, and therefore it might be sensible to try and get the parts out. And if not, then yeah. Joss?
May I respond?
Please.
Okay. So just in terms of Rydale District Council having a table, yes, we are planning to. And I was delighted to speak to Louise Wood, who's our new communication and IT head of. And she was throwing out ideas at 100 miles an hour. So we're going to have a fabulous presentation.
Slowed down a bit then, had she?
A fabulous presentation at the event, I'm hoping, certainly, if we can bring some of her ideas to action. And we've got some, it's a Saturday, the event, so we've got some colleagues from the council who are happy to come in on a Saturday and man that table for us. We're also going to be having some laptops available so people can come and test their carbon outputs, and then they can go around and see whether they're able to cut them by listening and taking advice from the various stalls. I would just like to point out as well, it's a pilot, it's a trial. And depending how it goes, hopefully well, we can then take it around Rydale. So we would hope to repeat it in Pickering, Helmsley, Kirby Moorside, etc. So it's definitely one to take around. And then lastly, just to say, we do also have a speaker coming from the Rural Renewable Community Energy Fund, which has just started. Just opened up to the public, and I was sitting next to the gentleman the other day at a LEP event, and he said to me, I'm really struggling to find any environmental groups who might like to apply for this. And I just said, well, come to Rydale on the 2nd of November and I'll find you a few. So he's going to come, he's going to have a stall, and he's going to come and speak to the forum as well. So that's fantastic news.
That sounds good. Right, well,
thanks, Chair. I started with what I thought was one simple question, but since then it's become lots and lots of questions. Start with a simple one first. I think you said there are 35 actions on the plan, and every one of them has been assigned to somebody. how many people have actually, is it two or three people with lots of actions, or is it 35 people with an action each? Save me making mess of the Pentana system. I just want to get a sense of how widely it's spread across the council.
Yeah, the actions tend to be assigned to lead officers, and then they would ensure that they were delivered. But one of the actions is for us to establish a corporate working group. And again, we asked for volunteers from across the council to join that group, and we were delighted with the response. We've had an officer from every department of the council represented.
Thank you. If I may, Chair, just pick up on... I'm now a little confused, which will not surprise anybody, about the Rydale Environmental Forum from the discussion. I mean, my understanding was it is just that. It is a forum. And the people that Di, yourself, are talking about will be represented in that, which slightly puzzles me as to why they'd want to do something separate, which I think comes to my question based on that, which is, are we actually building a database and building a map of all the groups in Rydale that could actually come into this forum, so that we actually, as we hear about them, we are encouraging them to come in, rather than letting them find their own way in? Because I think this is something that we can positively, drive.
Can I come in on that one? Because I think there's an element of that Rydale Environment Forum that we had in this room last February. And that same question was asked. And the Rydale Environment Group, I think, is now moving into being a forum, which is adding to the confusion. But what we said was, and Rydale has run an environmental forum for 16 years. The council has. I don't think we're going to start going down the Copyright and Trade Descriptions Act and any other hoo-ha. What we said then, and we should have kept it going when it wasn't kept going, is that it is a safety net. And if things are happening in the community, cycling, electric bikes, bring and give away sessions, whatever, that is brilliant. But the council should be here saying, hello, if you're having a problem with something, or you want something, or the Rydale Environment Group is not doing what you're wanting, we may have something that fits, whatever. In other words, it's a safety net. And that's almost a touch of why I'm a little concerned about the Rydale Environment Forum, which is a collaboration of various groups, that this body in here shouldn't be getting that body to report to it. It should be getting the individual bits that make that up to contribute. It's delicate ground. We had 38 people perfectly happy with that, or 37 people perfectly happy with that approach last February. It may have changed, I don't know. Josh, did you want to add anything to that? I have seen you.
It's maybe a flexible situation and changing, but my understanding was that the Rydale Environment Group was a kind of a proactive group that were developing ideas into projects, and the forum is more of a marketplace for ideas. Yeah. So it's kind of a just come along and listen, you don't have to be a member, that kind of thing. Thank you.
Thank you. If I just to complete that, then to come back to my first question. Come back to my question on that is, I think this is, the start of a fantastic story for Rydale. It's something we really need to be on the front foot of. So I really wouldn't want us to miss the opportunity to be bringing people in and then to be telling the world, look who's coming, look who's getting involved, look, this is a great story. My comment, rather my question, would be let's not miss the PR opportunities that this gives us going forward.
Can I, before I go to Di, just give you one balancer to that? I personally am more concerned about what we do than the PR side of it. Louise is brilliant. You can't get anybody better than her for presenting that, but it's really the bottom line is what we do.
I'm assuming, Chair, the PR will be about what we are doing.
Well, exactly, but you've got to be careful that it isn't a PR opportunity. This is, and we'll come to it, this is a planet we're talking about, and it's what we do. Di.
I just thought I would clarify what the Rydale Environment Group is. The Rydale Environment Group is like an umbrella organisation four smaller groups all around the district. I think we're up to about five now. And the umbrella, that organisation is there to come up with ideas, but it's also a constituted group which is applying for funding, which will then seed fund the other smaller groups, so they don't all have to have constitutions and all the rest of it. And it's those smaller groups in the different towns that are actually doing the practical on-the-ground things, like the give-and-take days, like the Moors bags, and all those sort of bits and pieces that are happening. So that's it. So I, as far as I see it, that runs alongside the environmental forum.
I'm delighted. That's what I thought it was. Yeah. I was dreading you saying it was something different.
No, not at all. Not at all. So the two run alongside each other very well, I think.
Can I go back to you, Will, who addressed this concern and gave me concern as well? Not because I, but because I thought, have I got this wrong? Are you now comfortable with how it?
Yes, that's been
will work.
That's been incredibly useful, and I understand the difference between the REF and the REG.
Good. And if
I'm
you
just
can
waiting for the REF to come.
If you can
next.
Explain it to everybody, that would be most helpful.
Just waiting for the REH to come next.
I think, on a serious note, we have got to keep everybody who is concerned about climate change and use in the environment. We've got to keep them in together. And there will be, there has been already in the Rydale Environment Group, mini punch-ups and mini walkouts and whatever. They will happen. And one of the reasons for wanting the Rydale Environment Forum, if ever into the future one of those got serious and shouldn't have done, Rydale Council will be there to try and help them to put their community thing back together. That's just an additional thing that I hope we never have to use, but we might have to. Any further questions or comments? Josh, anything further to add?
Thank you.
Well, I think that's a massive thank you. And to think that less than a year ago, we had not turned scrutiny, had not turned the stone over and went, whoops. Nothing's happened on climate change. And I think that one was the 10-year one, wasn't it? Was it 10 years, nothing had happened. There'd been some automatic actions that had gone on because things were set in flow, but there was no follow-up and driving behind it. So I'd now like to propose, and I'm going to put them both together, that overview and scrutiny... No, let me ask a question. Oh, we have senior officers here. Yes. Can I ask, as a senior officer, are we allowed to, and that won't stop me even if we're not, are we allowed to request direct of the LGA? I would have thought we were if it's a scrutiny type issue. And it's non-controversial.
I believe you are allowed to do that, Chair, yes.
Shall we risk it then? In other words, I propose, little one, that overview and scrutiny note the Climate Change Action Plan Progress Report and thank the officers for their work on this subject. And little two, request the LGA to call upon the government to standardise charging points. I had plugs, but I think points is better. Yeah. I move that from the chair.
I'll second that.
You didn't give him chance, poor lady. Yeah?
Probably want to include EV charging
as opposed to what other sort of vehicles would we be charging? I don't mind, but if we're... Sorry? What other sort of vehicles would we be charging? I'll go with that, yes. So request the LGA to call the government to standardise charging points for EVs. Yeah, whichever. Okay, I don't matter. Whichever way around. Yeah, that's all right. No, we're not being silly. This committee is never silly. It has no sense of humour. Right. I move that, and it's seconded. Can we vote on it, please? I'm presuming nobody wants to say anything other than what's been said. Sorry?
That's unanimous.
And Joss moved too quickly for me to say thank you ever so much, Joss. Much appreciated. And what I said about where we've come in a year has been massively down to you. Thank you ever so much. Right.
Chair.
Well,
sorry, before we move on.
No, please.
Could I just pick up on something Josh said about the reaction there's been in this building to people wanting to get involved in this?
Yep.
And if we do it no other way, I'd simply like to put to my microphone something that says how delighted I am that the officers and staff of this council have thrown themselves into this in the way that they have and volunteered to get involved. I think that's an incredible step.
I think that has been very obvious for the whole of the 12 months since we first put that motion to full council. When we put that motion, silly Liberals, put that motion, a climate change motion, in 2003, somewhere, 4, 5, somewhere there, we had Liberal Democrat support and one or two others, and we had hours of outside of the council discussion and debate to persuade people to get it to just scrape through. And we had one environmental and climate change, environmental and efficiency, I think it was, officer, Nick Coakley, and the officers mostly looking at it, what's all this about? Oh, yes, I suppose it's okay. Some of the younger ones quite keen, but not many. This time round, you couldn't walk into the council building without people saying, brilliant, at last, you're moving. Even though we'd done the same thing 10 years ago and done nothing, they didn't seem to remember that bit. But it is, it's absolutely right, and I'm not even slightly surprised that you've got a big contribution for that. The only thing just to add to it, if you've got a big volunteers, one in all departments, is there a way of harnessing the enthusiasm of the rest of the ones who are not in the group? Or keeping an eye on them? That may be a senior management thought, but if you've got people who are enthusiastic about a subject, they may well be prepared to come on the 2nd of November, because you would not normally have asked them, but if they're environmentally enthusiastic and climate change concerned, there might be people who would help to chuck something in to help. It's just a thought. Right, can we move on to item 9? I think it's 9 next. Scrutiny review on the motion to council on climate change. Sorry, John. It's on the late papers. Sorry?
Sent out on Friday.
Sent it out on Friday. Have you got a copy? Because if you haven't, have you got a spare paper copy? Or somebody? Or have we got a copy of this? Yeah, go on. I've got one spare copy, non-spare copy coming, one down each. You don't need to go where we've scrounged together enough. Have we all got. Now, this might, some of this might be new to some people, and you want a few minutes just to read through it. I'm looking at John particularly because you weren't there. You weren't there. But you've had it for a couple of days, have you? Right, and you've had it. So John's the only one that's... Di was at the working party, and it's as we said in the working party, so you should be all right. Do you want a couple of minutes, John? I'm quite happy for you to have it. Right. We went through this at great heated length, I think, would be the best description for it, and looked at each of the motions, lines from the motion, as to whether we supported them or not, and if we supported them, how they fitted in. Now, not supporting included, not supporting because we already had it in our policy. That seemed ridiculous to start changing the phraseology and the wording of our policy for something that was already in there. And that was happily agreed by all. They're looking at A, declare a climate change emergency that requires an urgent immediate attention and achieve net zero emissions. That was not agreed. The desire of the motion to achieve net zero emissions across Rydale by 2030 was not felt to be realistic and outside the influence of the council, because it wasn't just the council's figures, it was the whole of agriculture, tourism, and. And on that basis, we felt we couldn't support it. And the government trying to do that by 2050 and us trying to do it by 2030, and we hadn't any power, it seemed a little too much off the scale. B was an interesting one. And that was most of the work of the last one, wasn't it? Yes. Thank you, Derek, for that little nod. It assured me my brain's still roughly in the right direction. Established a climate change and environment committee to design the policy framework and deliver a climate change emergency plan for net zero emissions by 2030. The same bit applies to the net zero by 2030, i.e. not support that bit. But the main question out of that is, do we establish a climate change and environment committee? And in principle, that was unanimous. Yep, no trouble at all. However, how did we do it? We failed almost miserably on it, and we got Simon Copley in, which is why it was the last one, to give us the options as to how it could be done. And Simon did offer to be here, but I think we got it there, and we were all in agreement with what he said. And that was, if you had a climate committee, how would it work? Everything would go to the climate committee first. And then it would go to policy and or planning. And then it would go to wherever. And that would slow council down massively and make it all very cumbersome. The alternative to that was you sent it to the policies, committees and so on, which we had two at that point, and then it went to climate change. And that was equally cumbersome. So we looked at, if we had a subcommittee, to in effect call it in. And that seemed to fit scrutiny rather than policy. Because policy would be tripping over itself, everything would have to go to its own subcommittee. So if your subcommittee had the power to call it in, then when there was something that was environmentally or climate change out of line, it would be possible for that group of people to call it in. So the first strand, the option of creating a subcommittee, was there. Then we had the Rydale Environment Forum in the second one.
From the second one, I think we also agreed at the working party that that subcommittee wouldn't just be about calling in, it would also be about looking at innovation that the council could...
Absolutely, right.
I think that needs to be in the wording somewhere.
Ah, are you suggesting that? Because I thought that we had that into the environmental forum as to where things could be fed into. Now, this committee can override anything that the working party said or done or whatever. Help me, Di, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I thought that's what we agreed.
You're ringing a little bell with me
yeah,
as well.
The environmental forum would also act as a sort of a forum for ideas and innovation, but that would be fed into the subcommittee. So the subcommittee wouldn't just be about calling in, it would also be about
It says the working will be supplemented by building the successful start made by Rydale Environment Forum, with the forum to meet three or four times a year to harness the ideas of interested parties to feed them into the subcommittee.
That's fine then. Sorry. Yeah.
No, it's all right. I thought... I thought... I'm sure that's the wording we'd agreed. Then I thought I'm sure I'd read it. Don't do that to me. Right, but I didn't say it now, which doesn't help. So it has the power to scrutinise, call in, but also act as a adding to the document that we've seen. It would have to go through the various channels or whatever, but to be able to look at why isn't this council doing this, why isn't this council doing that, that would come either direct to it or from academic, and that's one of the academics that's mentioned in the motion. You can feed that, it is, take anything in through the environment form or straight to the subcommittee to then go, and it would have to feed it to scrutiny, to full council, to PNR, to wherever. But you've got a group there, and it could do that without having, and this was the big advantage, having to slow the whole process of council down beyond belief. Right, I'm recovering, Di, slowly. The third discussion of the task group was on the need to embed climate change more broadly into the wider constitution. And that was one of Joss's ideas from a year ago. And some of us were saying, yes, but. And it wasn't yes, no, but. It was, yes, it ought to be embedded, but then there ought to be something that is responsible for it. So good driving is embedded in the early stages of your test and learning to drive, but you still need the copper there to stop people driving at X mile an hour over the speed limit. So on that basis, we want to put it into the Constitution, and that's a nice several days' work for Simon, to go through it all, good evening, to put it into the Constitution. That, I think, covers the whole of that and obviously not support the net zero. I think when we get to full council that the wording of that will need to be done in the line of an amendment. And I don't know whether an amendment can come from scrutiny or not, or whether it should just come from the chair of whatever, and I'm quite happy to get those typed up as amendments to the... I'm looking at Tony here. To the amendments to the motion, climate change motion, would need to be put in by somebody, and if they're going to be in line with this, but they will need to be wording as amendments, not what we're saying how it should be worked here. John, you've a long time on this council.
Could we delegate that particular task to officers to come up with a form of words that would be acceptable to council?
I don't think it's officers' job to decide what is acceptable to council. And as the present chief executive's predecessor's predecessor said, anybody with chief executive level of officer now, anybody who can predict what is going to happen in full council, they're worth 10 times my salary, and I haven't come across somebody yet. full council has its own work, so members have got to take responsibility for that. I'm quite happy to put that into amendment form. You can't put an amendment form into a report. Put it into amendment form. And just A, do not support. D, do not support. C, do not support. That's the relatively easy one. The complicated one is the climate change one, the subcommittee, and the one we've just gone through that Di picked me up on, but fortunately we've got in place. But the others are do not support. So that's... Yeah. Right. What we've got... establish a climate change partnership working group by 2019 involving councillors, residents, etc. The task group came to the conclusion that the establishment working group was already covered. That's what we're doing on the 2nd of November. It's already there. What we haven't got in here is the officer post, and I think that is D.
Sorry, Chair. Can I just clarify something?
Please.
You're absolutely right. We have got it covered by what we've got set up, the work, the forum. But it does establish that... I just don't want anybody tripping up over establish a climate change partnership working group. I establish something formal.
This is why the working party recommended that we didn't go down that route.
Fine, okay.
The only two, if I understand it correctly, and I'll say when I get to the end of this sentence, I'll see if we can. Angela's waving around to see if something's missing. We said that if it's covered in our existing policy, we're not going to try and take a twiddle in. And the one I think Mike Potter came up with was academics. Well, yes, it's a good idea, but we've now got a Rydell Environment Forum and a subcommittee where academics can be encouraged to or could feed into. And it's not worth changing the wording of Rydell's policy to slot in the word academics, because somebody will come up with something else somewhere. You know, not only academics, we should be consulting with people that are working in the field. Oh dear, we haven't covered them, etc. So we then move on to recommend that the Chief Executive propose a climate change and environment officer to work with and support councillors. The task group, and I'm emphasising it, supported this was an expectation that the post would be at service manager level, subject to job evaluation. In other words, the job should be that important, so the job description's got to be written so that it is that important. But that's got systems and union involvement and senior management and that's all got processes and so on that's got to be done that you will particularly will understand with your background to get that right. But we're giving them an area where we level that we think it should be at and report to a member of the Strategic Management Board to give the necessary responsibility and influence to deliver climate change agenda at the council. And I think that is it. The others are the task group did not support, the task group did not support because they were already in there. The wording of the proposed motion is there at the end, but the last thing you want to do is have the wording of amendments that go to full council to be decided by a committee, but there's the draft outline, and they're the best Will and I could do, as it were, but I'll look at them in a colder light if we agree where we are tonight. If we don't agree, then there's not much point in looking at the wording of the amendment. Right. Good evening, madam. No, not sorry at all. Thank you for putting the effort in to get here. Are you aware of where we are? And page. We don't do pages here. We're doing agenda item 9, and you should have in the late pages 3 to 8 the council council on motion to council on climate change, and that's the scrutiny report of it. And I've just taken the committee through what I hope is the two we're supporting and how they should be supported from the working party. And they were going to, all the others, although they've got, some of them have got bits in them, I've seen you die, some of them have got good bits in them, some of them haven't, they're not supported because either we don't support them or because it's already covered in our policy. Die.
Yes, sorry, I knew there was a reason why I raised the point about more innovation. Because
you
when
like
you go
making,
down to the
recommendations...
You just
like making me twitchy. Yeah,
sorry,
go on.
Sorry, John.
No, please
when
do.
When you go down to the recommendations, in B1, it says, establish a climate change and environment subcommittee under the Overview and Scrutiny Committee to scrutinise the climate change work across the council and with powers of calling.
And
so it doesn't say...
Thank you. That's
so
why
please,
I just...
can you put something
and
in
that
there?
Is why I have just said those are draft.
Right, okay.
And they need to look at... And if anybody else comes up any wordy with those recommendations, talk to me. I think I ought... I think the chair of scrutiny should be moving the amendment, but please let's, you know, yell at me if those recommendations at the bottom don't cover it. To call in, plus what was the phrase we used earlier?
Something about innovation, I can't remember exactly what I said.
Would encourage innovation do in that sentence?
Well, we'll take it from the wording of the report. I'll just put in there plus wording from report. I know what it is. Because I'm not going to suggest that we adopt that wording dot for dot. I'm going to come up hopefully in a minute with some wording that says the principle of. So, first of all, any discussion and thoughts on where we are with it? Leaving aside the recommendations, we'll come to those when we've agreed where we are with it. Are we comfortable with what the working party has come up with? Will?
Absolutely, Chair. I mean, I'm sorry for personal reasons I've not been able to get involved in the last few months of this, but looks like good, sensible progress has been made. Thank you.
That's nice to hear, because at times it was little bit of a struggle, I think it would be fair to say. Nathan, are you comfortable with what we've got here? John, you came and then disappeared off to warmer climes, yeah. Di, you missed the first two, which were interesting, and came to the last one, which was got a long way. Any more to add to approve it. I'm going to move that we approve the decisions of the working party. If we do that, we can then put a wording in that the recommendations are draft form, and with the officers and the in consultation with the chair, ensure, and I think there's only one thing spotted so far, ensure that those recommendations are in line with the work done by the working party. Are we comfortable with that? So can I move, first of all, that we approve the discussions and approach taken by the working party? So you don't need to have been at the working party. You're taking what you've got here to say, is that what you're wanting?
I'll second that.
Didn't I ask for a second? Will normally picks me up on that.
I was about to.
Well, yes, you.
That's unanimous.
That, I think, gives us it in principle. I'd then like to propose that the overview and scrutiny accept the draft recommendations but allow for amendments. No, draft recommendations. But they must be in line with the work of the working party. That work is the wrong word, isn't it? With the conclusions. So ONS accepts the draft report, draft recommendations, but any changes must be in line with the conclusions of the working party. And that enables me to pick up what, so you can agree with the draft ones, but we know that that needs, and there may be another, that's all I'm just concerned about. And I don't want to have to call an emergency meeting of overview and scrutiny or go round everybody and say, look, this doesn't make sense. I think we've got it all there, but it needs checking.
If I may, Chair.
Yes, please. Well,
how is ONS, given that this will be going forward from ONS, how is ONS going to actually signify that it is happy with those amendments?
We've just signified it, I think.
No, with the amendments.
Well, I've got ONS accepts the draft recommendations. Right, so you're accepting the draft ones, but any changes must be in line with the conclusions of the working party. Now that gives officers and me the flexibility of being able to twitch ever so slightly, but not much more. In other words, we can only alter it as long as it's in the wording of what we've already got. If you're not happy with that, somebody can come up with some better wording for it. I'd be delighted to.
Would it be, I mean, I know timing is against us, but would it be unreasonable to ask you, once the wording has been sorted, to actually email it to members of the committee?
I will do that,
right,
but okay. I don't think that should be in the wording of this.
No, I'm just asking.
Because somebody doesn't get it, somebody says they haven't got it, etc. I'm wanting to get wording that gets it clear now. I thought I'd said that earlier, but I will. Andrew?
Is it possible for you just to read that again, what you've just said? Just on that.
Yeah, I can just read it as many times. ONS accepts the draft recommendations. So that's fairly well nailing it. But any changes... Oh, I've got it. Any changes, open brackets, made by the officers in consultation with the chair... must be in line with the conclusions of the working party. Pardon? I'm looking to see if Tony's nodding, but he's absolutely impassive. In other words, if it works... Yeah, that was what I agreed with. And if it doesn't, well, that's your problem, John. Does that sound roughly right?
It certainly provides for amendments to be made prior to it moving further on. So, yes, I would think so, yes.
But doesn't ask the committee to agree to anything outside what the working party have agreed? No, I don't think so. I think we are there. Right. Can I move what I've said three times? And can it... Somebody... Ah, somebody's waving. Oh, no, she's pointing at you. Don't... I can cope with dive one direction, but you two both pointing each other saying the other one wants to say something. No? You have anything to say?
Who was going to get in first and second?
Right. I've moved it. Right. Fine. Thank you both. Can we vote on that, please? Do you get the wording okay? I've got it written here, Mr. Sorry? Yeah, I realise that. But I've got to get it right, because only you would pull me up sharply. Lovely. Yes. Right. I think that is climate change ready to go to full council. Yes? No? Good. Right. The next one is the report into equalities. Item 10. And I would like to move here that we accept the report and that we note the next steps to be taken, brackets 1 to 5. Sorry? Thank you, Will. There's a couple of sentences I would like to put into here for the record. When you read this, it looks pretty damning. And I think it is pretty damning. However, I have a lot of reason to believe that scrutiny is not the only group of people that have come across this that is damning, and my understanding is that a lot of work is being done to change that. What I'm not prepared to do, wasn't prepared to do, and won't be prepared to do, is alter what we found. And when you actually run where we are now against the LGA template, it did not come out well. However, I am very confident and hopeful that when we go down 1 to 5 points and others, that we will find that is now happening, that is about to happen, that will be happening. But we can't say that at the moment until that working party has found it. So I've moved it, seconded by Will. Can we take a vote on that, please? You may find, Christine, that I'm well capable of getting two votes on one issue and no votes on the next issue.
That's unanimous.
Thank you. We need to before we move on to item 11, we need to try and fix up a date, or we can agree that we don't fix up a date, because I was hoping Tracy would be here this evening for the Universal Credit one. But we're now... Let me just update you as a sentence. It should have gone in Chair's announcement, but let me cover it because it comes in here. Under scrutiny reviews, but we've got them as 9 and 10 rather than all scrutiny reviews, if you see what I mean. The Universal Credit Working Party met once and decided that it was going to try and fix up a meeting with the Job Centre and go down and see what they did, how they did it, let them talk to us, etc. I have got some dates potential for that, but Tracy was, I've done this, I've done that, and the contribution to the working party was massive. And I understood she was going to be here tonight. So what I will do is delay fixing that date up on the Universal Credit until I've made contact with her and find out, and then when she's got two or three dates she could make, to fit in with the job centre, then come back to everybody and say, right, which one are we going for? That's that one. The equalities, are we going to do that one now as to when we're going to meet? I think we need to meet once. We've got another scrutiny meeting at the end of October. And I can't remember, were the Universal Credit meeting dates in October? Or I think they were.
One.
Two in October and one in November. So there's a pretty high chance there'll be one at the Universal Credit will be in October. I think one equalities in October is enough when we're having another scrutiny meeting at the end of October. Am I slowing it down too much, or is that okay with everybody? Die? Yeah. Yeah. So we need to put a date in for Equalities Working Party. Any preferences, comments, thoughts? Any evenings particularly good? Wednesday evening's been a...
I was just going to say, John, Wednesday evening would suit if you... Whatever would be better for me than others, because it doesn't clash with council. Many, many parish and town councils that I have to attend.
Clashed with Moulton, but you haven't moved on to Moulton yet, have you?
No, but there's usually a clash with either Everston or Axton.
Yeah. When you go down for what's happening in Moulton, then you realise that Moulton meets on a Wednesday night.
I'm as a resident of Moulton, I'm very happy for Moulton Town Council to do what it does, Councillor Clark.
I thought you might be wanting to expand it to Moulton. Right, so we're going for a Wednesday. I was going to say how lucky, but maybe not lucky. So we're talking about today being the 3rd. So what about the 17th? Is there anything lined up on the 17th? Nothing that I can... How's the 17th appeal to people? That's a Thursday, sorry, beg your pardon. 16th, yeah.
If I can just flag, John, whatever date you choose, my attendance will be dependent on the movement to the British Army, so whatever you choose might be good or bad.
Do you mean management's decision?
My daughter's back in the UK for a little while, so...
I meant a senior management to your daughter. Right. Are we going for the 16th of October? Are we going for the 16th of October? I was just going to ask the same question. I start disliking earlier meetings as the light runs out into the winter, but that's a personal view. No. Shall we go for 6:30? Do anybody know what might or might not suit Tracy?
I think probably both Councillor Middleton and Councillor Garbutt Moore would be suited better by a 6:30 start, given their working lives. I'm just speaking for Nathan.
Yeah, no, 6:30 is me, fine. I have the basic view that unless you have a group where everybody can make it and it suits, then it's an evening run council. So, no problem at all. 16th of October, 6:30, Equalities. Yeah, well, that's not my problem. And Universal...
Hallelujah.
Universal Credit to be decided. Right. Is that... I realise that's not as such on the agenda, but is that that? Right. Review of work plan. I moved that early on when Anton was here, because I think it was useful to ask Anton if we could move some of the audit stuff into now. I mean, we have covered things incredibly thoroughly, and we've been an hour and a half. We'll be pushing through things in the audit meeting at the end of the month, and we'll be nearer to 2.5, will be my guess. Right. Anybody want to say anything or do anything in relation to the work plan? Doesn't seem to have a high number of enthusiastic commenters. Can I leave you with a couple of thoughts on it? Can I ask Will to have a look at the last 2 years, say, depending on how long it takes you, of how long each meeting has taken? Because it might just be sort of perception that some are very long and some are very short. And you might find they all vary within half an hour, so what on earth are we considering doing anything with? But if the numbers do come out that there is a bigger variation, then it'll be worth looking at. And then we ought to consider a group wider than the chair and or vice chair having a look at it, having a discussion with officers as to whether or not we can move something or do something. But let's analyse it. Scrutiny believes in analysing, so let's analyse to see if there is a problem before we start trying to solve a problem we haven't got. Okay. I'm still nervously sitting here waiting for Will to tell me I haven't done something. It's right. So that's review of work plan. Decisions from other committees. We have the policy and resources committee. Two members of scrutiny were there, David Cousins, who's not here, and myself. And the only thing that I am not going to call in, but they really have got to tidy up, tighten up, do something with, and that is Part B and Part A items. There was a Part A item, which was the development of the food enterprise zone at Riggs Road, and that was in the exempt in the paperwork as Part B, and on the agenda as Part A. Now that doesn't matter if you're on the committee. It is vital to people who don't go because it's a Part B. So if somebody looked at the paperwork and not the front page and it was a Part B, they said, oh, that's going to full council. I don't need to go. And we had one of these with a Pickering councillor who actually thought, oh, employment land in Pickering, oh, I don't agree with that recommendation, but it'll be going to full council. And then it was moved into Part A. I'm not going to raise it, but the fact I've said it on here now is hopefully enough to make somebody realise that needs just a little bit more tidying up. But I had no problems with the meeting, otherwise nothing to report. And what do we do with that one, Will, on the agenda? Nothing. Now that's done. We've done that one. And any other business the chair decides is urgent. I have no other urgent business. Thank you all for your attention. And we've now clearly got far more stamina than the majority of the officers, with one or two notable exceptions who appear to be able to cope with this well. Thank you all.